Those Mad Masters. Time now for a visit with that foggy young couple, the Masters. Life seems to drift along at the Masters. Monty, a shoe salesman, always comes home at 6:45. Dinner is always served by Natalie at 7. By 7:30, they're through, and by 7:31, Natalie always...
Monty reads that darned old newspaper. Can't you do anything else, darling, after dinner but read that paper and fall off asleep in that chair?
Oh, well, heck, Nat, when else do I get a chance to keep up in the news?
Oh, don't tell me the shoe business is so hubba-hubba that you can't find time to glance at a newspaper now and then.
Yeah, hubba-hubba? Where did you pick up an expression like that?
Oh, dig me later, Jack. I haven't thought up an answer yet.
Well, yeah. Hey!
Don't shout at me like that.
The fight's on tonight.
It's on every night. You finish dinner and crawl into that chair like a hibernating bear, and I fight to get you to say a few civil words to me.
I don't mean that fight. I mean the one on the radio. Powerhouse Murphy versus Slugger Donovan. Boy, what a scrap for the middleweight championship of the world.
They ought to call it the muddleweight. I don't understand two grown men getting up and bashing each other's faces in.
Well, that's sport.
Sport?
Sure. Huh. Certainly, the manly art of self-defense.
Manly? What's manly about turning a nice straight nose into a tomato patch?
Oh, it's glad you wouldn't understand. Anyway, the fight's being broadcast, and I want to hear it. There.
Well, that's one way to get your nose out of that paper.
You know, you should read the paper more often, dear. You might find out that we invented an atom bomb. The Japs quit, and the war's over, you know. They have a thing called the UNO, which is going to outlaw all...
The participants are now in their corners and ready to go from the guide.
Ah, there it is now.
Just a guard and a broken noses, that's all.
The referee has given the boys their instructions, and they merely await the ringing of a bell.
Two men deliberately trying to break each other's noses.
Hold it up in that nose business, will you?
And there's the bell for the first round now.
Hot diggity.
Murphy advances toward the center of the ring. Slugger Donovan cautiously comes forward, too. They're going to feel each other out for just a moment.
And then carry each other out.
There's the left by Donovan, high and on the temple. Murphy ducks and takes the blow, rolling away. There's a left, and another left by Murphy, and another left. And now there's Murphy again. It's a left, a left, a left, right, left.
Must be an army man.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Seems to be all Murphy. He's tossing punch after punch at Donovan without return.
Ooh,
and a wild booming right hand punch catches Donovan on the ear, and it's in bad shape. I believe the ear's been particularly torn off. Yes, very bad shape, ladies and gentlemen.
Good,
the
good.
Is still pouring leather at Donovan's bum ear.
Good.
I'm afraid.
What's he got to be afraid about? He's not doing the fighting.
Yes, here comes the referee.
Good.
He's standing in between the two warriors.
Good.
Now he's looking at Donovan's ear.
That's good.
And yes, it's all over.
That's bad.
The winner is Powerhouse Murphy by a TKO. Boy, that ear is really in bad shape.
Yeah. There, you see?
There, do I see what?
It wasn't so bad. They didn't break each other's noses.
Oh, no. Just de-eared the man, that's all.
Oh, it won't be so bad. They'll take Donovan out, sew the ear back on inside a week or so. It'll be just as good as new.
Oh.
Yeah, think of the dough he made for less than 2 minutes of actual fighting.
How much, hon?
Oh, I'd say around $6,000 or $7,000.
$6,000 or $7,000?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Think of the money he'd have made if he'd gotten the other ear knocked off.
Yeah. Look, dear, they don't pay by the ear.
Gee, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, you said it, baby. $6,000 or $7,000, you know? You know, I wish I'd stuck to boxing.
You stuck to...
What's so funny about that?
Oh, you boxing. The only thing you ever boxed was a newly purchased pair of shoes down at the store.
Now, wait a minute, my dear wife. I'll have you know that when I was in college, I was 84-pound champ of Dormitory 10.
Uh-huh. And how many men were there in Dormitory 10?
Three.
Mm-hmm. And out of those three men, who all weighed 84 pounds?
Just me.
Uh-huh.
But they all said I had promise. Now, if I had just weighed more, if I'd only kept at it, I could have been one of the greatest boxers in the game. Yes, sir, I can hear the crowds now. Roaring their approval. Mothers pointing me out to their small son. Yep, the champ. That'd be me.
Well, Mac, how are you?
When did you get in here?
Oh, just about 10 minutes ago. This is a heck of a dump for a training camp.
Yeah, that's what I told the camp's manager.
Natalie's still managing Monty?
Yep. Shrewd little cookie, too.
Yeah.
Knows all the answers, all the angles. I've tried to nail the champ for a story every day since I've been here. All I can get is the usual standard release. The champ is slowly rounding into top-flight condition. The loss of another 2 or 3 pounds will see him at fighting weight. What a pile of tripe.
You know, Bingo, I'm surprised your paper made you cover this thing. I thought you were past handling the training grind.
Yeah, I thought I was, too, but here I am. What about yourself? The eminent sports authority of the Metropolitan Globe assigned to a champ's training camp. You should talk, Mac.
Oh, easy, boy, easy. You're kicking me where it hurts. I'm being punished.
Oh? How so?
Oh, I hashed up a page one yarn a couple of weeks ago.
Exclusive, or can you fan about it?
Nah, I can talk about it now. The seat of my pants has been repaired. That spot that was nicely chewed out by the old man.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that a bunch of petty gamblers were horning in on the sporting events down at the bowl.
Oh, you call that new?
No, I know. Everybody in town knew about it. But what isn't generally known is this. Lighthouse Louis Lamont, the head boy of the racket kids, got knocked off in one of the squeeze plays. There was heck to pay, and two other of the lads got bumped off in the aftermath.
Hey, where have I been? Why haven't we heard about this since?
Yeah, that's just it. It's still top drawer hush-hush. My old man's still working on a few angles, and the lid is due to pop any minute. But in the meantime, Bingo, my friend, I have been relegated to covering the champ's training quarters from now until the big match.
My sympathies, Mac, my sympathies.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything as sinful as you, but here I am, nevertheless. And I can tell you that... Uh-oh, here comes the champ now.
Oh, gee, Christopher, he looks lousy. Look at that tube of blubber around the middle. Come on, let's talk to him.
Yeah.
Well, hello, champ. How's the boy?
Oh, Mac, old kid, I'll be a son of a gun. How are you, boy?
Tolerable, Monty, tolerable. Good to see you again. Hey, you look a bit comfortable around the equator.
Now, you know how it is, Mac. I haven't done a thing since the war ended. Nothing but eat and sleep.
Yeah.
Bound to put on a little weight, you know. You know, 2 or 3 more good workouts and I'll be okay, see?
You bet they see. They see too darn much, darling. You'll get all your stories through me and nobody else. Oh, how are you, Mac? I didn't see you.
No, I'm fine, Mrs. Masters. I never could see you.
What was that
you
said
to me?
Now, don't misunderstand me.
Well, then, just what did you mean?
Well, what I meant was I just can't see a woman being the manager of the world's typewriter speed writing champion.
Typewriter champ? Yikes! What kind of a dream is this?
Well, what's wrong with that, Mac?
Plenty. This racket's no place for a lady. It's too full of characters. Illiterates, crooks, bums.
Mm-hmm.
Your dainty flower-like presence among all this chaff slightly nauseates me, that's all.
Well, how do you like this,
Natalie, I don't mean to sound mushy, but I can only see you dolled out in a yellow crinoline, standing in the doorway of a rustic little bungalow, waving a cheery evening greeting to Monty as he arrives home from the office on the 6:10. A wisp of smoke is curling up from the chimney. A meadowlark twits off in the distance.
Does what?
Twits.
Hey, meadowlarks don't...
All right, so he chirps. The sizzling aroma of chops pervade the countryside. The world's peaceful, calm, beautiful, and worthwhile. Now compare that sylvan atmosphere with the grim stench of the typewriter speed-writing arenas, the gamblers, the repairmen dashing about with their tools, the poor, broken-down gladiators at the end of a match, their fingers shot with hangnails, broken fingernails, knuckles pounded into a pitiful mass beyond recognition.
Very touching, Mac, but you don't get me in the least. Now you go on and get out of here. The champ has to get to work.
All right. But don't say I didn't warn you. When Monty's just a shell of his former self, when his fingers are gnarled and numb from pounding the keyboard, in match after match, when his eyes are gone from staring at that white glare of the glistening paper in the typewriter carriage, don't say I didn't tell you, that's all.
Thanks just the same, Mac, but we're doing all right.
All right? Don't make me laugh. Why, the way Monty looks right now, he couldn't go a couple of medium-fast paragraphs without falling on his face.
Ah, come on, baby. Don't listen to him.
I'm not. Let's get to work, darling.
What's the champ going to do this afternoon, Mrs. Masters?
Well, in spite of my lack of yellow crinoline, I'm going to drive him today. Drive him hard. He's going to work on nothing but capital letters. Straight through the alphabet, 20 times the top speed.
He'll never make it. He'll wear his fingers into stumps.
Hey, Matt, look at Monty. He's not in such bad shape today.
No, he isn't. I hate to admit that. But don't forget, he's only working out on the capital letters.
Yeah.
Wait till he starts shifting around and getting onto lowercase. Then I'll give you my opinion.
Hey, did you see that one? Wow, Matt, did you see that one?
No, what happened?
Monty sure looked good on that. He just knocked the H out of the keyboard.
Well, I'll see you later, Bingo. I've got to hit the typewriter.
But he isn't through the training session yet, Mac.
Ah, so what? I don't have to see any more. What he needs is about 3 months' work on the basic touch system. He's soft.
Another week of this. I'm going nuts.
You getting edgy, hon? Feel the need of a fling?
Yeah, you said it. This training camp stuff is driving me bats.
Hallelujah. I think at last you're rounding into fighting shape.
Huh? What do you mean?
I've noticed you, darling. Always before a match, if you get jumpy and fed up with things around camp, it's always a sign you're just about ready.
No kidding, huh? Mm-hmm. Then you think I'm coming along okay?
Mm-hmm. Not quite, but almost. Your left needs more work yet. It's slow, lacks drive. It holds up your work on the backspace key and on the shift. But it's coming.
Sure it is. When the time comes, I'll be hotter than a Civil War musket.
Now, don't get too cocky, Tom. This feather finger Fenimore you're up against is no slouch, you know.
Yeah. I know. They don't call him feather finger for nothing. But if he's got the speed, I've got the class, and that's where the points count.
That's what I'm trying to drill into you now, hon. Speed. Just a little more ease with that left hand, and I'll hawk our last dollar on you to win.
Hey, what kind of a racket are you guys running around here?
What are you talking about, Matt?
Oh, you don't know, huh? How come my room's been ransacked? All my papers and notes swiped clean as a whistle.
What?
Well, who the dickens...
And that's not all. My typewriter smashed beyond repair. And if that doesn't sound like a key-happy typewriter writing champ, I'll eat your copy a paragraph at a time.
Whoa, back up. You know Marty better than that.
Sure.
All right. Look at it this way. Who else around here could have done it? There's me, Bingo, and three guys from the West Coast papers, whom I know personally.
Oh, what about that guy from Texas? The Republican?
No, wait a minute. I'm from Texas myself.
Oh, no offense, Mac, but do you know the man?
I didn't know anybody else was here.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. Here comes Bingo. Maybe he knows something.
Oh.
No go, Mac. Been all over the camp, and we're the only ones here. Newspaper boys and the regular camp inmates.
Inmates? How do you like this guy?
Call hey, him. Bingo. You didn't tell me about some guy from Texas being here. Who is he? Do you know him?
Nope. Never saw him before.
Well, I'm not going to do anything about it tonight. It's too late. But if I don't get some kind of an answer tomorrow morning, just read a copy of my paper. Afternoon edition.
The soft, warm breezes of morning. The faint, rosy fingers of the new sun stretching out to meet the world. The day promises good for everybody. Happiness for everybody. Everybody, that is, except me. I sit here and down bowl after bowl of vitamin enriched shot through a blower hung out to dry in the soft, warm fields of sunny California oatmeal. I'm going nuts. Oh, for a big, rich, and greasy, bad-for-you lobster Thermidor. The kind that gives you heartburn.
Good morning, darling. On top of the world, I see.
No, the other way around. The world's on top of me.
Oh?
Oh, well, I'd be glad when next Wednesday rolls around and this match is over. I don't even care if I lose it just so long as it's over.
It's tough, I know. But that's the life for you when you're typewriter writing champ of the world.
Yeah.
All through with breakfast?
Yeah.
Well, come on, let's get to work then. Double time and lowercase for you today.
Lowercase. That's all I ever hear. Why can't I mix them up for a change? Upper and lowercase. Cut loose and show them what I can do.
Fundamentals, my dear. That's what's going to win this match for you.
Ha, fundamentals, my eye. And I'd like to do a little fundamental work with a great, big, tall coon.
Just let me catch you at it, that's all. You know what a highball does to you. One drink and you couldn't tell an asterisk from a semicolon. Okay, Steve, let's get to work.
Hey, just a minute, you two. This has gone far enough. Now my suitcase is gone and all my clothes along with it. I want them back.
Huh? Well, you mean you're cleaned out?
Lock, stock, and zipper. You can't buy clothes like that nowadays. I want them back.
I heard you the first time, Matt. You don't think I had anything to do with it, do you?
I don't know. You can't tell what a woman will do for a pair of slacks these days. Especially slacks with...
Matt.
Cuffs on them. I want them back.
You're in a rut.
There's nothing to the rut you'll be in after the stories I'm going to write. You're responsible for this training camp.
You know, you're right, Max. We are responsible. And I'm going to get to the bottom of this thing right now. Max, will you tell the boys I'd like to see them all immediately here?
You're darn right I will. Immediately here.
She wants to see all of you. That's what she told
me. May I have your attention for a minute, please?
Hold it, fellas.
Fellas, yeah. Please. The reason I've called you here is this. Mac here has had several things stolen from his cabin, including all of his personal papers and his suit.
One suit, complete with cuffs.
Yes. Now, most of you we know and have known for quite a few years, and I feel as though I can personally vouch for the rest of you.
Hey.
Just a minute, Bingo. I don't think...
Wait, nothing. Fun. That new guy isn't here.
You mean the guy from Texas?
Yeah. Come to think of it, I haven't seen him since early yesterday. Have you, Natalie? Monty?
No, come to think of it, I haven't. How about you, darling?
No.
I've never even seen the guy. What does he look like?
Oh, he's about medium height, dark hair, and a little dark mustache. Packs a cane. He's got a slight limp.
Wait a minute. Tell me that again. A limp and he has a mustache?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, how do you like that?
Well, what do you want us to do, Mac? Notify the police?
No, this is becoming extremely interesting. Here's the pitch. Play along with me, and Wednesday night may see more than just a championship match between Monty Masters and Featherfinger Fenimore.
Why, the skunks! What a foul, fiendish deal this is. They're deliberately trying to fix it so we lose the match.
What's the matter now?
Yeah, what's wrong, Natalie?
Well, look at them. Look at Monty's fingers.
Wow. I've seen everything. What is it?
Itching powder.
Itching powder?
Yeah. All over my fingers. I can hardly move them.
But how did it happen?
I don't know, but I've got an idea. You know, I began to notice this rash on my fingers right after breakfast. Then they started to itch like all the mongrel dogs in all the world. My hands feel as if they're on fire.
I put two and two together. I examined the breakfast dishes, and sure enough, they were loaded with itching powder. Mm. Powder all over the cereal bowl, the spoon, the knife. This was a deliberate attempt to put Monty out of commission. I'm not so sure they haven't succeeded.
Do you really think so?
Look at his fingers, Bingo. They're practically raw.
Yeah.
He won't be able to touch a typewriter for another 24 hours. The match is only 3 days away.
Hmm. This verifies my opinion.
Yeah, what opinion is that, Mac?
These babies are big-time operators.
No.
This concerns more than just you, Monty.
No.
The future of all sporting events may be at stake.
Oh.
Natalie, you work on Monty. Try to get his fingers back in shape.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going into town and do a little sleuthing. See you the night of the match. Hey, look at this crowd, Bingo. It looks like a sellout for the match.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go back into the dressing room and see how Monty's getting along.
Good idea. Lead the way, chum.
Hiya, beautiful and repulsive.
Well, in that order?
Yeah.
Oh, Mac, I didn't know you cared.
Well, that makes me repulsive. Hi, Bingo, Mac.
Hiya, Natalie. How's the champ?
Yeah, how are the hands? The newspapers have him practically dead.
Monty's never been in better shape. His hands are perfectly okay.
I'm glad to hear that. Hey, it's just about that time, isn't it?
Yep. Shoo, boys. Champ's going inside. Oh, good luck, hon.
Thanks, darling. We'll do it. You watch.
Okay, come on, let's go.
And here comes the champ now, ladies and gentlemen. Right behind him is his wife and manager, Mrs. Masters. The crowd is going wild. And down from the far side comes the challenger, Featherfinger Fenimore. He looks good, very good. The two contenders are at desk side now. Both are sitting down and getting that last-minute advice from their trainers. Masters is getting a finger rub, and Fenimore's manager is working on the challenger's cuticles. Yes, sir, this is going to be a battle. The battle of the century, if I may coin a phrase. They're getting in their places now, adjusting the seats behind the typewriters to just the right height. A fraction of an inch off, you know, and their timing might be impaired. They place their hands on the keyboard. They're all set. The crowd is tense and leans forward. We're ready for the gong, and here it comes. The fight's on. They're both underway for the first round, which consists, as you know, of one page full of the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. This is for speed alone, clarity and precision being of secondary nature. Master seems to be laboring while Featherfinger is living up to his name. His hands seem to flow the keyboard. This is my opinion only, ladies and gentlemen, but Featherfinger Fenimore seems to have taken a commanding lead already. He's halfway down the fool's cap now, while Masters is trailing by some 10 or 12 lines. But Champ is having his troubles. Round two is well underway, ladies and gentlemen. Well, that first round was disastrous to the champ, trailing by a good 2 minutes at the finish. Round two sees the fighters going a fast copy job on the Gettysburg Address. Featherfinger is already down past brought forth upon this continent, while Master seems to be having trouble getting his paper into the carriage. Yes, sir. And now they're down to round six. The fight's halfway over. And if Masters is going to do any telling scoring, now is the time for him to turn on the steam. He's lost five straight rounds, ladies and gentlemen, and his chances have grown dimmer as the rounds tick off. Round six is a round for precision, with both men hammering away at Hamlet's soliloquy. This is tough, for both speed and accuracy are the telling factors in this particular test. Masters' work in the preceding rounds, very sloppy indeed. There they go. To be or not to be. That is the... Whoops! Master slipped on his question. Now Featherfinger is turning on the heat. And typewriter is really smoking. That was a much closer round, ladies and gentlemen. Master's made a desperate comeback attempt and actually made up some lost ground. His wife is working over him frantically now. They seem to be discussing something. They're talking quite...
Way to go, darling. What happened in that last round? You seem to come to life.
Hey, I think from now on, you're going to see a touch of the old Masters, kid. I've discovered something.
Discovered something? What?
Yeah, never mind. I haven't got time to tell you right now. You just keep your eye on me, that's all.
And there they are, back for round seven, ladies and gentlemen. Master seems to have a glint of triumph in his eye. I can't understand this sudden change in him. He's been taking a merciless trouncing for five rounds, and then presto, his whole attitude has changed. He's smacking the keyboard with greater fire, a neat pinpoint precision. This round calls for all-out speed, and all copy will be checked for marginal neatness, a grueling test for both men. And they're away. The subject matter for this round is the first page of the Encyclopedia Britannica. And to make it even tougher on both men physically, the copy is in fine print. And they will not be allowed erasers this round. Hey, wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Something tremendous is happening. The champ is standing up from his typewriter. He's pointing a finger out to the first row of spectators. I don't get this. We'll turn our desk-side microphones on so we can hear what's going on.
Yes, that man there, sitting in the first row. That's the one. I want him arrested.
Ever in the history of the typewriter championship matches has there ever been so much excitement, so much red, raw courage. For here we are coming down the stretch in the 10th and final round with the defending champion, Monty Masters, coming in like a house of fire. He's gone crazy. The typewriter reels under each blow of his fingers. The dizzy pace his hands are setting has the spectators in loops. He's finishing in a frenzy of glory, and it's just possible he may eke out a narrow win. The challenger, Featherfinger Fenimore, is tiring under this rolling pace. He's hanging on.
I don't know. I couldn't possibly predict a winner for you. Both men kept wailing away at their keyboards after the gong had sounded. What a finish, ladies and gentlemen. Both warriors are slumped over their desks, completely done in, having given their all in one of the wildest finishes ever seen. The referee is picking up the judge's decision slips. We'll have an announcement in just one moment. Here it comes. The winner, by one exclamation point in the final round, the winner and still world's typewriter speedwriting champion on the walnut veneer desk, Monty Masters!
Yeah. Oh, I was awfully worried the first half of the match. What got into you?
Well, it had me puzzled, too. My timing was off. No rhythm. I kept hitting the wrong keys until...
Until what, Monty?
Tell them, Monty.
Yeah.
Tell them both or they'll die. Yeah.
Well, my ears were tuned to the rhythm of two typewriters, mine and Featherfinger's. But in the middle of the first round, I heard three machines. Huh? And, brother, that threw me completely off my stride.
Three typewriters? Well, there were only two, darling.
I know, and that's what threw me. I kept hearing three, and so I found I was looking around the auditorium trying to find the third. And it wasn't until that sixth round that I caught on.
What was it?
Well, you know that guy I had arrested in the seventh round?
Yeah.
This is what he had under his coat.
Why, it's a...
Yeah, a metallic cricket, one of those kids' toys we give away at the shoe store. Yes, sir, and he kept snapping it all during the fight. Darn near cost me the championship.
Why, the filthy no
And that's goodness. Only the half of it. Tell it the rest, Monty.
Well, I thought this bozo looked familiar. He was. He was the so-called newspaper man from Texas. I'd only had one or two looks at him while he was at the training camp, so I wasn't sure. But when I made certain he was making this go like that, I was positive he was the same guy. That's why I had him pinched.
Yeah, and when the cops brought him outside, I filed charges because he was the clunk who swiped all my notes and suits and smashed my typewriter.
What? I don't get it, Matt.
Hey, you will, chum. You will. You'll get it. Plus $7,500.
Uh-huh. What?
There was a reward for the guy. 15,000 smackaroos. He was the guy who slipped through my fingers. He was the louse who bumped off Lighthouse Louis Lamont.
What?
He was the guy who was turning the bowl here into a glorified gambling joint. Quite a haul, hey, kid. You hang on to the world's typewriting championship and get $7,500 extra for nailing a killer.
Yeah. Well, how do you like that, hon? Pretty soft, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the life for me. Oh, and I was growling about the tough training grind. Yeah, what a sucker I'd be if I quit. Me, the world's champ. I must have been out of my head. What do you want?
Wake up. Now it's time to go to bed.
Go to bed? Oh.
As usual, you went to sleep over your paper.
Oh, for the love of Pete. I thought that. Oh, darn it. I was having the nicest dream, too.
You always do when you pick up your paper after dinner.
Gee, $7,500.
What are you mumbling about, darling?
Oh, I dreamt I was the world's typewriter, speedwriting champ.
Oh, darling. You and your dreams.
Well, don't laugh. It could be. You know, it's possible. Time to go to bed, you say, huh?
Uh-huh. Oh, it's 9:30.
Yeah. Now, let's get to bed. That training grind sure tired me out.
You have been listening to Those Mad Masters, presented from the studios of KGO San Francisco and featuring Natalie and Monty Masters. If you'd like to see a performance of Those Mad Masters, merely write to KGO San Francisco, Zone 2 for tickets.
Don't forget, next Tuesday evening from Studio C.
Yeah, we'll be seeing you.
Good night, all.
This is Jerry Hendiga saying stay tuned. More great old radio classics coming right up.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.